Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Tuesday to you. November 18th edition of the show. They flexed us. They flexed us to NBC, Peacock, John Wimby. They can't flex their calves right now. Both going to be out due to calf strains. A lot of calf strain going around. Remember, Ty Jerome's got a very serious one. That's why we haven't seen him. But if you look all around the league, there's a ton of it. I wonder, are we getting more calf strains? Are we just teams being more cautious because of what the calf means, what a calf strain connects to, and what it could mean in terms of further injury, Achilles and such? And so you wonder, it is a disappointment. You want to have John Morant on the floor. You want to have Wimby on the floor. I'm sure that's a disappointment for NBC. You will have Grizzlies and Spurs tonight, though. We will talk about that one. Spurs are still significant favorites. They will have De'Aaron Fox on the floor. We'll talk about that tonight for the Memphis Grizzlies, who do have Zach Edey back, but we know a real shorthanded at point guard. Basically got none. All point guards out for Memphis Grizzlies. We'll talk about that game. Ole Miss has given Lane a deadline.
I saw that.
Can't wait to talk about that story with you. We've discussed it. Tigers will play the number one team in the country on Thursday. Remember what happened last time? Penny played one.
Yes. That was 2023 Houston. No Marcus Sasser, however.
Everybody has to put that in, that little caveat. Sasser didn't play.
They still had to win it. But not. It was not the full number one.
When 1 cent took on one, what happened?
He won. 1-1-1.
1-1-1. See how we're starting this thing off? Aligned. He's John Martin. That's Brad Carson. Everybody's here. Gentlemen, I'm grateful to be with you.
Yes. Good to be with you.
Yes, man. It's a, you know, I always say this. It's a blessing to be a blessing.
Man, was just telling my wife that.
It's a blessing to be a blessing. And we're going to continue to be blessings.
Amen.
To anybody and everybody who will receive them. That's all we can do. We can't force people to do that, though.
Is this year nine? Is this year nine?
For the show?
Yeah.
Well, the year nine for the show.
Yeah.
It's year 13 for me at this station.
Yeah.
You know, I had been here before I got this show as a producer for Jeff Calkins. And that's where
I don't look at you a producer, so it's like it never happened.
That's where I really learned the hard lessons of the business. Right. I mean
you were in the total gutter with that gig. I mean the dues he paid Jason are outrageous.
You ain't gotta tell me I was listening.
Deep dues.
Remember the Josh Pastner thought of the day.
Yeah.
Wow. That we
remember,
did
we used
that.
To get one of those. Wasn't that a daily occurrence? You didn't think I remembered that.
And then eventually,
I would hear them on the radio.
The rap, I think, is what we called that segment. Mm-hmm. It was the rap. And then we'd have.
That's why he loves hugging.
Josh Pastner's Art of the Day. There was the clip of the day, and then there was John Martin gets to talk, which was ironic because I talked throughout the entire show. I'm not really sure why we had to, give me a monologue at the end of the show, but, at the end of the day, you live and learn and you continue to be blessings in this business.
Staging.
One thing for me, because I always wanted it and you can do it now. We've been in this business a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get the Josh Pastner stuff?
I would Google profound quotes.
You just looked up on Google profound quotes.
Yeah.
I always wondered where you were pulling it from, because I knew after a while, okay, this ain't, you ain't calling Josh getting a bunch of these.
Josh was not involved in that at all.
I always wondered, as the radio listener at that time, where John was getting the profound.
And I would try to.
I think some of it filled you up, because, of course, Jeff's got the drop that says, with John, and the profound.
That's right.
What it does say, we don't come to you for that, but you're full of it.
That's right. Now, I tried to relate the quote of the day to a current event, right? Like, that was always kind of the challenge. It was like, yeah, let me find a quote that would sort of capture the day.
I'll tell you what, some of us look forward to it, John.
And I enjoyed it.
It was a great
It was good
bit.
Work.
It was a great little bit.
Look, we have segments that come and go.
What if we did the penny thought of the day?
I like it.
The penny is the penny thought of the day would probably just be that drop we use every day.
Yeah.
It would be just this every day then?
Yeah, or he would say don't. Penny would say that now based on the start of this season. Don't even play with me.
Yeah, I think until further notice, we can just assume that's the thought of the day.
How about this? The Ryan Silverfield thought of the day.
Direct deposit.
Yeah. 9 wins.
That's his.
Get 9.
Good question on if he's going to get it.
Extend.
Discuss that later.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not to get too off here.
Yeah, I
see interesting where you're going.
Does he get a bonus for 8 wins, though, too? Because there's when you,
I ain't worried about bonus. I'm worried about another year and whether or not you got to pay for 4 or for 5 if you want to discuss. Because I'm going to tell you this. Let me just get it off my chest.
Mm.
Don't be coming to me talking about wanting to discuss firing Penny Hardaway if we haven't already had a discussion about firing Ryan Silverfield.
Well, we've had it.
I'm just saying. For folks that are – folks are because of – maybe some of it was because it was Sunday. But there was a lot more of that, mm-hmm. right? Penny. Oh, he's in trouble if he ain't got – oh, my – boy, we good at going at Penny in this basketball program. There's been a shift, and it's just interesting to me there. I'm just saying, if you're going to have that conversation about a guy who's won the conference and everything else, probably coming off his best season – you better have had the one about the guy who hasn't even been there.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it to you two at all. I'm saying it to folks that are wanting to have that Penny conversation off of a 1-2 start here.
Yes.
This show, spare me. This show had the fire Ryan Silverfield conversation before we got out of here for Christmas break in December 2019.
That's a fact.
If you recall. Brad said that
this was you he, saw
he
this
should,
coming.
Y'all fired.
Y'all being silly. See, you try to take something out that was real for me. Okay,
I'm just saying
we
had
it on
real
that.
Common sense.
No, I'm with it,
and you got it. You got a good one, but you got to zing it. And that's
I'm
the show.
You.
That's the
you.
Show. Brad, you're right. Brad was on it.
Well,
December 2019.
You had a choice.
Here's
Brad, purgatory or movement.
Here's the most damning thing to me: 3 straight conference title games. Including the one you won in 19. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean,
that was going every year, John.
I kind of had forgotten about the losses, but when I, you know.
Because we put them out of our minds,
right.
But you've been to 3 straight.
Right, right. It was just one of those years was luck because of the divisions, right? I mean, that but still, they were there.
There.
Yeah.
And sniffed it since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that's not true. A step back?
It's so, facts.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll fire Ryan Silverfield again today.
What? Jeff says it's not a discussion, so there are people that say
the appetite,
put a lid on it.
The appetite is growing, but it's not the stomach's not rumbling.
New
yet.
Stadium, new coach.
How many years are you into that NIL deal with Fed? We don't know if they re-upped it after the offer to the Big 12. We assume they would, but remember, it's a 5-year deal. Won't you be going into year 3 of it next year?
It was 2024.
What,
so one,
so two seasons.
Three. Yeah.
Next year will be the third.
Yeah.
What's it gotten you so far? 4th last year, you're in 6th this year.
Because the majority of it is going to football. It's basketball is not getting
exactly.
The
that's a football NIL deal.
Yeah. Facts.
And the non-revenue sports will get some of that as well.
Ryan Silverfield thought they keep grinding, just like old Jason said.
That's the Grizz beat. Now it's not Grizz beat day. That'll be tomorrow. I assume you'll be talking about Grizz got beat again. But
oh no!
Oh how dare you!
Now you just said that you just came on here real positive about tonight. And the Grizzlies' chances.
No Wemby.
They're 6.5, 100.
Yes.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Look, I do want to say before we get started, Jessica Bitts is going to join us at 11:25.
Hey.
Frank Bonner is going to be making his final appearance at, well, I'm just kidding. That's not his final appearance.
Oh, my goodness. No, it's a bye week for them, but not a bye week for Frank,
no.
apparently.
No, we won't hold Frank after the season. We'll let Frank get some rest.
Oh, no.
He's got to get a vacation. Every B writer does.
Well, he works hard as hell, of course.
So he'll join us at 1:25. We'll talk about that devastating loss, and what's really devastating for Frank is that he drove to Greenville. He did not fly.
He didn't do the Parth plane.
No. See, that was a destination that Parth should fly to.
Isn't that strange?
Right?
Yeah.
But forget it. But Frank said he would not take a chance with the shutdown. This was, before I think the government had reopened. So I do understand, the philosophy there. But, man, that's a
long drive home.
Yeah. A long, sad drive back. There is no doubt about it.
Whether you got it covered or you're a fan of it.
Yes. So Frank Bonner is going to join us at 125. That's the show today. But before we get into cap or no cap, look, we don't have to, this is going to be a long 4 months. I mean, we've been here before on this show. It's been a while with probably no playoffs for the Grizzlies. We'll see about a tournament for the Tiger basketball program. We've been here before. It's been a long time. But I know how you guys feel. You're out there and you're looking for somebody to blame. You want somebody to blame, don't
you? Yeah, that's what I want.
Well, how about this? How about you blame Geno Smith?
I keep saying this, man. If something don't look right out there, blame it on me, right? If it don't look right, blame it on me. That's all you can do, blame it on me. If your kids mess up at school, blame it on me. Car breakdown going to work, blame it on me.
If your Memphis basketball teams and your Grizzlies basketball teams look like ass, blame it on Geno Smith. He takes the blame. He's the quarterback of the Raiders.
I don't think about you enough and what you're going through. I should have called you and just made sure you're okay.
Check on
a friend type stuff.
He didn't even. I sent him two texts. That was a mess. He didn't even respond to any of them. He has no room for my suffering.
I need to pay more attention to now, your mental health and everything else, your peace.
Now, I'll say this.
You're going through it.
We could have put this in like a cap or no cap, but I'll just.
It was really good, though. That was good.
Yeah, I appreciate him taking the blame for us.
Broad shoulders.
I have mostly like tuned out of the suffering, but there was a moment where I was embarrassed last night.
Imagine.
And it was that George Pickens touchdown.
Yeah.
When three Raiders defenders went one direction and he went the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like I was watching a game of Madden.
Right.
Except it was real life. And George Pickens made them folks look like idiots. That was embarrassing. That was an embarrassing, and again, long, ugly, disgusting 2-8 season. I actually felt something in that moment. It's very rare. But I was like, man, on Monday Night Football, everybody's watching. This is humiliating.
I get it. I felt it was hard to watch when you saw the shot of Mark Davis and Jerry together before the game. And how pale both men are.
Yep.
I'm just going to say it, man. It looks like death.
Yeah, well, certainly with Jerry. Jerry looks like he's knocking on the door.
Mark don't look bad?
Mark doesn't look like
Jerry.
I thought
for what's the age comparison
so Mark
there
Davis is 70.
On the tail of the tape?
Mark Davis is 70. Jerry Jones is 83.
Bro, Mark is too white to be 13 years younger than Jerry.
I don't wish this on Jerry, but it definitely looks like he could go at any minute. I mean, that TMZ alert could come. And again, I don't wish that, but like.
My thing, Mark was just waiting on him to talk because Mark has nothing to say.
Well, yeah, there's nothing to say. Yeah.
What do you think of my new stadium?
Yeah. How about the Las Vegas Aces?
Jerry don't want to talk about that mess.
Yeah.
And then he went out there and spanked you, Mark.
Yes, he did.
Made you look like the little baby you are.
Yes, he did.
What a clown show the Raiders are. Well, I mean, we used to talk about Dallas as a clown. To go in there and spank him, like picking just running weave drills on him.
He really was. He really, really was.
I'm sorry, man.
No, it's really.
That you have to watch
it's
that.
It's actually fine because they're 2-8. They're clearly not going to win more than two more games the rest of the way.
Jeff had y'all a little lower than I thought on the draft there, though.
Well, I mean, you have the Titans, you have, you have some really
Jets.
The Jets, you know.
Who are all in on Tank.
But I think, the Raiders could lose every game the rest of the
way. Are we talking top five?
Yeah. Easily.
Okay.
Because.
Top three, though.
I mean, at Washington, that's the Broncos schedule.
Well, it's going to be about finding your QB. That's what this year's going to be. That's going to be some good talk, finding your next QB.
I mean, sadly, they play the Browns next week. Somebody probably has to win that one. But then you got Chargers, Broncos, Eagles, Texans, Giants, Chiefs.
Giants, Raiders, Jeffrey mentioned that. That's going to be
I think we went
battling for position.
I think we go 4-13 though. That's like, you know, that's gonna put you top five for sure.
Yeah. Well, in position certainly to get a quarterback, not top choice though.
Yeah. The problem is that it's a bad. It's turned out to be a bad quarterback.
Not nearly as good as we thought it was gonna be. It appears.
So anyway, it
you
was.
You never know though. Man.
It was embarrassing last night. And what I would tell people is. In this Memphis sports season as well, like I bet the Cowboys last night, right? This is the if you're going to have to suffer through it emotionally, you might as well try to gain financially from it. And there's an opportunity, and we'll get to that with the Grizzlies. But anyway, yeah, it was a humiliating night last night. You get used to it at some point, but
I've been there,
man.
I mean, we were picking number one not too long ago.
That's right. That's right. Justin Fields. No, it wasn't Justin Fields. Who'd y'all take number one?
We pushed off 1 year to do the deal with Carolina, let them get Bryce, and then yes, we took Caleb.
It worked out.
So we have back to back.
That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. It worked out. All right, let's do a little thing. We'll do it, you know, occasionally. Not occasionally, we do it every week. Let's do a little thing we call Cap or No Cap. No job, no Wimby. The Grizzlies will do it without Wembanyama tonight in San Antonio. Get up, Memphis.
Do what? Cover or win?
Dude, mem this.
6.5, San Antonio, last I looked.
Man, oh, you just want to cover.
It's cover?
I'm saying do it. I'm saying do the unthinkable.
You're betting. That's miracle. What you're doing.
Miracle on ice in San Antonio.
The answer is no. You have no point guards. They have De'Aaron Fox. This is going to be a go-off game for
Vince
De'Aaron
Williams.
Fox. You know what Stephon Castle and Wimby mean for De'Aaron Fox? Green, green.
Yep. Is Stephon Castle out as well?
Yes.
Okay, so you're out. You're out Stephon Castle. You're out Wimby. Who do the Spurs really have? De'Aaron Fox and who?
De'Aaron Fox says me. That's who they have. I'm sure they still have Vassell. John's laughing. Brad's laughing. This is all facts.
Yeah.
They have Vassell and all those guys still.
Harrison Barnes.
De'Aaron doesn't care. This will be like the old Sacramento days early in his career. Where he is jacking.
Yeah, him and Harrison Barnes.
Imagine when he looks over there and they're throwing Vince Williams at him now. He's still going. This is a more active Vince Williams. Give him credit.
Yeah.
He's been asked to do a lot. Come on.
Yeah, no.
What's De'Aaron going to do there? And then, you know, if not Vince, what, Cam Spencer? You have no point guards. In all seriousness, you're down in your top four point guards still.
Right.
And so even with De'Aaron Fox out there, I figure they're at home here. You'd love to salvage this. Road trip, get one.
Yes.
This is going to be a De'Aaron Fox game. The Spurs are at home.
Yes.
You know, I'd love to believe the Grizzlies can get one here, but I don't think it happens.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think the issue here is I would actually love to bet the Grizzlies at some point here, but you got Cedric Coward on a minutes restriction. You got Zach Edey on a minutes restriction. Like, they're not even going full blast right now. And sometimes, I'm not saying that it happens every time, but – you know, there is going to be an element of these guys on the Spurs roster that want to say, hey, we're not just Wimby, right? Like, we're real NBA players outside of him. And, you know, Carter Bryant's going to get some minutes. Like you said, De'Aaron Fox. I mean, they still have some talent. And the Grizz are just in a terrible place. Like, they have never really looked good at all without Ja Morant. I know they were leading against the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they just really haven't looked good for extended minutes against, you know, without Ja Morant. So it's hard to believe that will change tonight. You know, against a team whose coach is leading the race right now for Coach of the Year, and Mitch Johnson. So,
JB.
Well, you know what? JB and him are probably tied at
gotta
the top.
Be.
Yeah,
gotta be.
Yeah, it's a good call. Because
what Detroit's doing is
yeah, they've
very
now
impressive.
Won 10 in a row. The Pistons have. So,
I already feel sorry for him because you know what's going to happen.
Coach of the Year favorite is JB Bickerstaff, and then Mitch Johnson is behind him. So that's the top two. So good call out.
Shout out, JB.
JB is leading the race. How
good
about that?
Good man. Good That's, man.
The Grizz had him right there. They had him.
Believe me, they're going to take it from him as soon as he's got it built up.
I feel like JB wasn't
do.
Even that bad.
That's
the Grizz,
what they
right?
do.
What was his record?
They take it away from him.
He was 15-48 his first year, and then he came back, was 33-49 in 18-19.
What about the Cleveland record? They fired him, right, to move on and get the offense updated with your boy, what is his name, Atkinson?
Yes, he was 48-34.
They're going to do the same thing. They're going to do the same thing to him when Detroit.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
No, they won't.
They'll say, we need another coach to get over the hump after JB done built it up again.
I guess, didn't Detroit do that to who did it to Dwayne Casey? Toronto?
Toronto, okay. After he won a coach of the year.
Man won coach of the damn year, and they fired him.
Yeah, now you did get Nick Nurse, who won, right?
I guess that's
but
true.
More because they had Kawhi.
Right. That's right? Crazy, though. Yes. To get fired after
I mean, Nick is a good coach. But
Coach of the Year.
Yeah, to win. Nuts. Yeah, we talk about that with Dwayne Casey. I mean, Sam Mitchell, we used to have on, was a former Coach of the Year. No?
He was.
Yes.
I guess that award just doesn't mean what it used to.
Might end up just doing Tex-Mex.
Yeah. All right, so we agree that the Grizz will not do it. I would like the Grizz with the points if everybody was playing, you know, full minutes, but without that, I don't think I can get to them.
I'm going to try to talk you into it real quick. Big Jaren Jackson game.
No.
John looked down into his Mountain Dew and did not want to hear it, much like Jeff Calkins doesn't want to hear discussion of firing Ryan Silverfield. He doesn't have time for it.
One is real and one is not.
Know that Jaren's man. What makes Jaren strong
Jaren's
is back.
Babysitter is Zach, back.
You said that. Zach Edey, man, is back.
Yes.
And this is an opportunity with no Wimby to go at them inside. What, you going to let Luke Kornet stop you?
Jaren, yes.
He's got a buddy to wall up against Kornet and clear the way so he can go in there and do his thing. Jaren had a better game. He was more aggressive at least. At least bring that same level of aggression. Bring that to the table tonight.
When Jaren is the top option, it's not conducive to wins.
No, it's not conducive to wins, no, but he gets his numbers. Yeah, and again, maybe you have an off De'Aaron Fox night on a night they don't have Castle.
I feel like you're
I said if I'm gonna talk you into it.
No, I feel like
you look nervous.
You're like, my bookie and you want me to bet Grizz +6.5 with you specifically.
I just said I can argue the other side.
Yeah.
At least let's see for us, for Grizzlies, forget the betting. Let's see Jaren Jackson sort of continue what we saw against Cleveland, at least in terms of take over.
Yes. I mean, you're making $50 million next year.
Yeah,
buddy.
We've been waiting on this.
This is
you were screaming at him the other day.
I was screaming at him.
And we all felt that.
I'll scream at him again if he has a bad game.
Let's put two together.
All right. I really will.
Might not result in win, like you say, but let's see it.
Like that comedian from Memphis, William Montgomery. You familiar with him?
Mm-mm.
He's like, his brand is like screaming on the mic. It's what he does. I'll get on here like William Montgomery and start screaming.
Okay.
From Memphis. So that's why I bring that up. All right, before we get out of here and get to Jessica Benson, the Tigers will do it against Purdue. Many are saying that they would not be surprised if Penny Hardaway takes this team, a cross-eyed David, and goes into the Bahamas with the slingshot and the lazy eye going the other way. And takes down, isn't that the biblical tale? You got the slingshot. Now I'm adding the cross eye.
Yeah,
because that's what this team is. It's a cross eye.
Again, this is a tale that Penny has told many times.
Many times,
it seems to work.
It works. It works.
They believe, and they should.
I mean, can you imagine
the word?
Can you imagine that pregame talk?
We've imagined them before. This is what he does.
It is what he does.
It's Cap.
But it's like this is the
Thursday.
This is a team that I feel like I don't know that there's another guy on that team like who will actually respond. I think that's
dude. Thedford will feel it.
He will
inside
go out there
of
and
himself.
he will flap.
I think Curtis Givens will feel it too.
Yeah, like I just
Majoke will feel it. Zach Davis will not feel it from what we have seen.
Aaron Bradshaw's in the pool.
He's gonna be laughing. He's having fun in the pool.
He's in the lazy river down there, bro.
It's a fun trip for Aaron Bradshaw.
It's 100%. He's like, hey, I get to go to the Bahamas for free.
Now, what about the savior? Penny keeps talking about him. Now he's the best rebounder on the team.
Thedford.
I can never remember his name, so John's gonna say it now.
A rope.
No, the brother who's hurt.
Oh, Hassan Abdul-Hakim.
Just saw again that Penny says he's the best rebounder.
We need more a rope.
Can he be in the boat of fighters? Can he be in the room
no
that
idea.
When Penny been, does the he, David versus Goliath? Can we get that quad ready to go against number one?
He's been out.
It's a quad.
He's been out with what do you get when you're on the sea? What do you get like scurvy? He's been out with scurvy, so, you know, I have absolutely...
Zach Davis got that scurvy.
Need him and need Ingram more minutes. We're ramping up, as you see. It's a slow ramp. Going to need him. I mean, there are things that can at least shore this thing up and make sure you're the American champ. Against number one, you have no chance. I'm sorry, the speech won't work.
I agree. If you keep it within 20, I'll be impressed. I mean, honestly, like I think Purdue is that good.
Yeah, it's a free swing for Memphis in that. I mean, nobody's expecting you to go out there, so go out there and learn something about yourself.
Yes.
You know, you just got challenged by your coach, who's done this now preseason, he's had to do it in the three games in, say, I don't know what I got in terms of effort. Like, he said it out loud. He pointed out I was trying to motivate him. Like, any of these guys are reading the papers or listening to radio. I mean, that's how dead it's been already. You're called out. And so now you get number one. If you can't get up for one, Doug McDaniel. If you can't get up for one, Sincere Parker. Davis, are you alive or are you just a foul machine?
Zach Davis.
Plug me up, I foul.
Jason was trying to negotiate a second year on the show.
Because you said wasn't no way this man was going to be sorry to gonna have coming from the SEC.
Bro.
6'5", could do it all. Said he was the next Michael Jordan. Now I'm going to. Now you step in all these fake headlines.
I mean, look.
But you did. Come on, you told me.
I liked him. I liked
you.
Him.
Told me this was important. Zach Davis, important addition, him. and I believe.
You know what?
Imagine that.
Mass.
Well, because look, when the power transfers drop down to Memphis, usually they've been good.
Yes.
You know.
No,
we had
every reason to believe he would be good. He actually put up some decent. You know, there was some tangible production there.
Yes.
But it's coming out of the SEC. You have the Dane Danger story. So they're coming down. You figure most of them are going to be good. They still have to get something out of him.
They do.
Whereas there's nothing with Bradshaw.
Nothing. It's gone.
Zach Davis got to play.
It's gone.
And I still believe there's something there with him. At least he's, again, versatile in the sense that you can put him up against guys. He's got to learn how to defend without fouling. How are we here at this point in his career, and he can't defend without fouling?
100%.
It's frustrating, but I see little, you know, at least little you can – You know, the cracks in the dam, whatever else. Maybe Ingram can plug one and be better than that. Maybe, you know, you say his name again.
Hassan Abdul Hakim.
When I see him, I will lock in.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is like the Zach Edey thing, though. Like, we come save the team.
And he said
team.
Best rebounder.
Right. Yeah.
Need him.
I mean, he did average 13.3 and 6.8 last year. So, I mean, there's obviously something there.
He said he is Draymond.
Did he really?
That's what we compared them to.
We need more than Draymond right now, but anything will help. Anything will help.
Just
Draymond was in the news, by the way. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show for his altercation with a fan. Let's hope that somebody can do this for Memphis sports. Otherwise, it's going to be a long 4 months. It truly, truly is. All right, we'll come back. Jessica Benson is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about Grizz action tonight, you know, how she's navigating all of this. James Franklin to Virginia Tech. I know they're happy about that. That's who they wanted when I talked to them. That's who they got.
There you go.
So we'll get into all that with her on the other side. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jessica Benson is on fire. Catch her on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd on Grind City Media, Grizz Radio Network. Back from New York City, and thank you for that. It is America. It is America, and Jessica Benson is an American, and she's back from the capital, really, the heart and soul of America in New York City. She joins us now. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to Memphis and home.
Oh, thank you so much. It was such a not fun weekend in Memphis to get out of Memphis for. So I appreciate that I was marked safe from being here in person.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you're back now, buddy. And, I am.
And your life comes at you fast.
It does. You're stuck. You're stuck. I don't know. How long you've been here for, like, what, 10 years, 11 years?
This is my 10th year. Yeah.
So you have been through a Memphis sports season like this then, right? Like, I feel like there was, I think 16-17 might have been, or maybe 17-18.
Yeah.
One of those two was like...
It would have been 17-18.
Yeah, that was brutal.
I was trying to think back on when it has felt like this and that's probably the closest that you're going to get.
And that was when, you know, I think the Grizz were kind of like, you know, just kind of in the in between with Mark and Mike and post Debo and trying to, you know, figure out what it was going to be. The Tigers had were on the second year, Tubby Smith, and you know that was what it was. And then Memphis football, I think, was good, but it wasn't, you know, competing for conference championships, or I guess it maybe was. It was the conference championship game that year, would be my guess, but lost. And I
was it was. That was when they lost in that really, yes, like, crazy shootout with UCF.
Yes. The difference is, here's the difference between this year and that year. There was a redeeming quality about that year in Memphis sports, and it was that you knew Tubby was getting fired. Right? Like, that was, you know, as we were looking for things to kind of hold on to and, like, give us hope, like, mm-hmm, Tubby Smith getting fired at the end of that, it produced so much excitement. You know, you're like, man, we just got to get through the season so we can do this coaching search or hire Penny or whatever the case may be. And then it was just a fever pitch. I don't think we're going to get that, you know, in Memphis sport. This year could be suffering for naught.
Yeah, and even the Grizzly side of that too. You know, it was very clear that you were on the end of the core 4 years, and you were going to start transitioning into hopefully having high draft picks, and you got one in Jaren Jackson Jr., and then you got one in John Morant. So there was a kind of like a turning the page effect, mm-hmm, going on, even if it was hard to live in it as it was happening. So yeah, right now it just kind of feels like we're stuck in the gunk of three potentially disappointing seasons. And for both basketball teams, we're at the start of this thing, right? Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of games left to play on both of those teams' schedules. So as opposed to sitting here thinking, man, like, to really turn it around, there's plenty of time. I think both are in a place right now where there's a question mark at the end of that. Like, can you?
What'd you think of what you saw from Zach Edey and his return?
Loved it. Those 6 minutes of that game against the Cavs were so beautiful. Brought tears to my eyes seeing Ja throw him a lob and the excitement and the energy back with it. And then it just gets stripped away with the Ja injury. But still, even after he left the game, just the understanding that Zach Edey really does make everybody around him better, makes this team better, right? And I think so much of the conversation leading to his return was, man, this one player is going to fix this much. This one second-year player is going to fix this much. And really it comes down to, well, he just makes everyone the best version of themselves, and Jaren Jackson Jr. included in that. So I thought it was really promising, instant understanding of how important he is in the paint and how he can act as both a rim protector and just an overall paint protector, what he can do as a screen setter. So Vince Williams get all the space in the world on a three off of a Zach Edey screen. So those are definite big positives to take forward. Would obviously have loved to have approached this next slate of games for the Grizzlies that are filled with some winnable games.
Yeah.
With that starting lineup that we were hopeful to see, and Cedric Coward included in that coming off of the last game that he played in too. But instead, we're left here in the here we go again. We're still not seeing what this thing is supposed to actually look like, and to have no real ball handler is a bummer.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I just want to take you back to September 1991 when the beautiful sitcom Step by Step debuted. Who could forget, right?
That's when Step by Step debuted.
Day by day. Come on, Jay Smooth. Come on, Jay.
No.
It aired
from the kind of way.
Now, you guys see, go right ahead.
There we go. See, that was Frank Lambert.
We'll make it better.
There we go.
Yeah.
Now one of us went to a couple Broadway shows this weekend, didn't we? I mean, we
I'm inspired. I've got a song in my heart.
We can kind of feel it. You're a theater kid. You don't shy away from that, and I respect the living hell out of that. But it feels like
I've really grown into it. I used to shy away from it, and now I just accept it.
That's right. And so I think that's the approach. It's like we gotta take this thing step by step, day by day. Ty Jerome comes back eventually. Ja Morant's gonna, you know, thankfully that injury was not as bad as it could have been. I mean, 2 weeks. It could have been 2 months, like we're dealing with Ty Jerome. So it feels like for the Memphis sports psyche, it's very much hey, you know, this week is winnable. Day by day, step by step, with the Grizzlies and everybody else.
The most coach speak of all coach speaks. One game at a time, right?
I mean, because like you can't. You're sitting here and you're like, oh, 4 months of this. Like you can't really, you know, you can't really do that. You can't fathom that.
No, absolutely not. And you have to look forward to the day that Ty Jerome comes back. And then ultimately, and listen, like, you know how down bad you are when you get the notification from Grizz PR yesterday that Jaw is expected to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. And you're like, oh, thank God. Like, what a positive injury update. For losing your star point guard, you find yourself almost wiping the sweat off your brow thinking, well, it could have been so much worse. 2 weeks, 2 weeks is manageable. I can see 2 weeks in the distance. And then you just have to hope that in 2 weeks when he comes back, someone else isn't finding themselves on the injury list. And it's not just impacting the Grizzlies, too, because I get very much sucked into the why us mentality sometimes. But I saw a graphic going around, I think it was yesterday, that right now there's 21 players in the NBA making $30 million or more who are sidelined due to injury. Mm. So there's a ton of injuries around the league right now.
When it comes to this season, obviously, you know, before it started, I don't think the Grizzlies were exactly, you know, super incisive about what they expected to be. I mean, I think we could all kind of deduce that there was a thought that it could be worse, that it could be a step back because you're trading away Desmond Bane and you're sort of going in a different direction in other ways. Obviously, the idea is to get an idea of is what we have put together here, is this core that we have, you know, relied on, is this going to be what we want it to be ultimately, which is to, you know, be a perennial top four seed? You know, can we count on this even if the parts move? And so when you have all these parts that are in, that are out, you know, maybe even the core itself, like how do you come to any conclusion? Like, how, you know, I think that's made this process a little cloudier. It's like you don't even really have a picture yet.
Yeah, you're trying to see through the fog. I mean, you have 6 minutes. And those 6 minutes looked good, right? So
right.
Then you can find yourself thinking, well, maybe this does work. And maybe, you know, in a full-strength situation, this team has absolutely won more games than the four that they've won this season. It just makes it – I think it re-illuminates one of the most difficult places to be in the NBA is in the middle, right? Like, if you know you're good, you're good. If you know you're bad – you're bad. If you're somewhere in the middle, it becomes this murky territory where you just don't quite know. And for the Grizzlies right now, that territory is defined by injuries because you literally don't know. You cannot make declarative statements about something until you see it actually play out. And thus far, we have not been able to see it actually play out outside of those six. So it just leaves you kind of in this place of, should I feel positive? Should I feel negative? You should always feel something. You don't want to live through this world just apathetic on it all. But yes, it does leave you in kind of a tricky situation to figure out.
Just what do you think of the when you watch that, you know, Draymond and the fan nose to nose there? I don't know. Part of me, it feels like it's real easy to come down on that fan side, right? Somebody standing up to Draymond. We were just asking that of Jaren, basically, after Draymond pulled down Santi Aldama. But then there's the other part of me that says, is able to pull back and says, well, this is dangerous, you know, to have these guys there. A lot of that's on Draymond. I'm just curious, when you watched it, what were some of your immediate thoughts?
One of my most immediate thoughts was, God, Angel Reese just stays on people's minds,
man,
all the time.
Triggers like, some folks, apparently. Yeah, yeah.
Triggers people. People use it as fodder. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Really obnoxious, and I feel like it's anyway. It's indicative
Good call.
Good
of kind
Good of call. Like a re bring into using women as butts of jokes,
yeah,
and using women as demeaning, and even Draymond in his reference to it. Like, I think he said something along the lines of, you know, it's a good joke at first, but you can't keep calling me a woman.
A woman.
I got four kids on the way. Like, you can't keep calling me a woman, or I got four kids. I got one on the way. You can't keep calling me a woman. And so then it just devolves into that where I'm like, really, we're still doing this in 2025. But yeah, it's this. This weird place that we live in as a society where it feels like the barriers between something popping off between a player and a fan, and I'll take it outside of sports too. Like, it can happen with celebrities. We saw on the Wicked promotional tour this week, like, a fan tried to bum rush Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo jumps in to stop that. But I couldn't help but think it could have gotten way uglier than just, you know, getting this guy off and trying to say, hey, that wasn't appropriate. You need to leave. Yep. And the same thing happens when these altercations happen or verbal altercations happen with professional athletes. And, you know, we can all sit here and joke and be like, all right, well, your words have consequences. If you want to be a fan and spend all this money to get in a fight with a player, like, that's on you. But it doesn't change the fact that it looks like we're getting closer and closer to something like that happening. So I don't know how you solve it, because I do think it's just kind of indicative of how we're operating as people right now, which is very charged and constantly kind of looking for a fight.
Well, obviously, you know, the proliferation of virality and getting paid for virality, you know, I don't think that helps matters at all. I didn't have a problem with Draymond confronting the guy. Like, people were calling him, you know, soft or whatever. I thought it's like, if somebody's going to come at you for a quarter or two quarters or whatever on the front row, like, you're, well, as long as you don't go over there and, like, you know, fire on him. Like, I feel like it's within your, you know, bounds to do that.
Back.
Yeah. Like, and so don't be surprised. You know, like, we're all dealing with human beings here. They're very rich athletes, but they're human beings as well. And yeah, like, you know, if I did not have any kids, you can call me a woman, but now that I have kids, like, you cannot call me a woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when the line gets drawn. You know what I mean?
He is a father a daughter.
You don't call a father a woman.
You get it.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah. No, but I actually didn't. I didn't have any problem with the exchange at all. And I think if you're a fan,
like, if someone's going to talk mess to you, I think it's a very natural thing. You're asking a lot of somebody to not say anything, and we can all sit here and be like, oh well, the best case scenario is you just ignore it, let it roll out. Okay, well, that's not real life. Like, words matter, and people get frustrated and people get mad.
Yeah, that is exactly right. All right, on to college football. Virginia Tech hired James Franklin. And, you know, when I went to the Virginia Tech Cal game, a noted ACC showdown, I asked the fans there, just in my, you know, general vicinity, who do y'all want? And James Franklin was what everybody said. They wanted James Franklin from the outset, and that's who they got. What do you make of that hire for Virginia Tech?
It just seems like a really good fit for both parties. Like, a great spot for him. He knows the area. They're investing a lot of money into their athletics department. And then for Virginia Tech, like, James Franklin should, by all accord, make them a perennial ACC contender. I think it works. I think we could look back on this coaching cycle and think, man, like, Virginia Tech really had the home run hire out of all of these schools by getting James Franklin. I just don't understand why coaches are the way they are. Like, I understand that contractually he had to keep looking for another job, even though he had this $49 million buyout and he needed to, in good faith, be negotiating. But I would have, like, worked a little harder to extend the in good faith negotiating. Like, make it last. Like, figure out a way to just not work and make some pretty serious money for a period of time. And I think I saw that, like, how it all works out. Now he gets the $9 million, that his $49 million went down to $9 million, and he gets the $9 million immediately, and obviously there's benefit in that. But these coaches just, they can't do it. They can't imagine a world where they're not coaching. James Franklin was on College Game Day a week after he got fired, saying, it's fine, I'm just going to go win a national championship somewhere else now. And obviously Virginia Tech liked what they heard on that and are excited for him to be their coach. But I would be on a beach. They are built different.
Do you is Ole Miss, would you endorse how they're handling this now that, you know, the reports are out there about the family making the visits? No, Lane wasn't giving him the sort of you need to tell us deadline. Do you approve?
I do. I mean, I've heard this argument of, like, well, the gentleman thing to do is to let this ride and let Lane Kiffin coach this team that he has at 10-1 going potentially to their first playoff experience, and then at the end of it, wish him well in the next endeavor. And that's all great in theory, but, like, in this world of college football, you cannot have a coach who is actively recruiting players to another SEC school. Like, you can't afford that to be happening. So if he, you know, has a handshake deal or a real deal in place to go to either Florida or LSU, I think it's fair for Ole Miss to say, listen, thank you for what you've done, but we can't allow you to keep coaching here while you are already signed on to be a coach somewhere else. And that's just the nature of the business. And I get it from a, like, rah-rah sunshine and rainbow standpoint. Of course you would love a world where Lane Kiffin can take his next job, and you can understand why he would want to take one of the other jobs in the SEC, and you operate under gratitude and being super gracious. that's just not how this works. So I completely understand why they're going about it the way they are. Now it's just a matter of, does he actually go?
Yeah. Jessica, you're the best. Thank you as always for this, and good luck out there. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Jess.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
See ya.
She is Jessica Benson, joins us every Tuesday here on the show. We got a lot to get to on the show today. James Franklin, the Lane Kiffin deadline. Should be a very busy, college football coaching carousel. And I mean, with only 2 weeks left in the season, it's getting ramped up.
It looks like he's telling McAfee there's no ultimatum, and that's absolutely not true. Lane on the show.
Oh, interesting.
We're having a blast. Love it here. Or at least he has just appeared on the show. I thought I was seeing him over there. I think this is happening live, right?
Yeah.
So he's now we'll get the response stories, I'm sure, out now, but it looks like that just broke. Him on McAfee.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it.
He says no ultimate.
When we get back, J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.